Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 4. We trust you'll have your Bible open, and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
All bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" You know what happened right there? They turned on a dime, man. They were on it. Wow, they were gracious words, and they marveled, and they wondered. And they said, "But yeah, but didn't he Joseph's son?" Devil's always got a little thing to throw in there. Yeah, he can't be anything big. Can't be any big deal. And Jesus heard their thoughts or understood their ruminations. In verse 23, it says, "You will surely say this proverb, physician, heal yourself. Whatsoever you have heard done in Capernaum, do ye also hear." He's saying, you're going to say to me, do what you did there, because this is his hometown. Now, a lot of Jesus' ministry was in the northern part of the kingdom up in Galilee. Then you had Samaria, and then you had Judea. And what you have up here is where he was at, in Nazareth. And he's teaching in Nazareth. And he talks about verse 24, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." Now, when you look at the word accepted, the idea of being accepted means that he's going to be propitious. It means he's going to be successful in his ministry. A prophet's going to have a hard time having a good ministry among his own people. Fascinating thing about this, they rose up in verse 29. They hated him. They were angry with him with what he had said. And they're going to throw him off of a hill. So I'm just passing by a couple people. He said there were people who had seen Elijah, and many of those in the room didn't see him, but one or two people saw Elijah when the widow was saved in the famine, or when Naaman was healed of his leprosy. Other people were lepers, other people were hungry, but he was only here or there, and most people missed him. You're going to miss it too. And so they're going to throw him off of a hill for saying what? For saying the truth. They hated him for saying the truth. We talked about that last week. The truth cuts to the heart, doesn't it? It cuts to the heart sometimes. Bible says in verse 28, "All they in the synagogue heard these things, they were full of wrath. They were going to throw him off of a cliff. But he passed through them," verse 30. You know why? Because he could. I like that. They get him over to the edge of a cliff. They're going to throw him off, and he just walks through them. They're all grabbing each other. Oh, I thought it was like a football team. You know, they're all piling on. And they look down. The guy that they were tackling isn't even in the bottom of the pile. They're just all grabbing each other and gouging and hurting. It's all not working because Jesus handled that situation. Now, we've talked about a lot of this spiritual side. I want you to see something else that's a little more insidious. You know, the devil's afoot. That's what I started out with. The conduit to joy is to follow the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. Verse 31 says, "And he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." There's that word power again. Power. He was in the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he was doing exactly what God had ordained he do. Do you know where you get your power from? You get it from obedience. The Bible tells us very clearly, by demonstrating it through Jesus' life and Paul's life and the other apostles' life, that the power falls when we are where we need to be. Well, they were in this synagogue, and everybody's getting powerfully moved by what he says in verse 32, astonished with this powerful word. And the Bible says that there was a man there who had a spirit of an unclean devil. Wow. What? Does that happen today? You bet it does. There are people who are demonized today. Now, for a believer, you can't be possessed by the devil because you are possessed by God. But frankly, the devil can't really possess too much of anything. He's a spirit. He's the god of this world. He's deceived people. And he makes them think that they can't go to God. He makes them think. Now, a person can cauterize his own heart by saying no, 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 and never getting saved, and eventually they go dark completely, and they don't even have an inkling. This is how the world is going on right now. The way people are today, there are so many people who are desensitized with their scruples. They have no conscience anymore. They've been cauterized, the Bible says, with a hot iron. They are reprobates, brute beasts, and that's what's happened. People have gone dark, and they've gone dark. They weren't born dark. They've decided no, 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 and pushed so many envelopes that now there's no turning back because they've cauterized their heart. There's a song on the Pink Floyd Animals album where they take the Lord's Prayer and they say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want him," is what they're saying. When we say, "I shall not want," it means I shall lack nothing. I shall not be in want. They say, I shall not want. Now, this is in the synthesizer in a prayer, and they take it and they say, with bright knives, he releaseth my soul. That's what they say in the prayer. Now, what I'm saying to you is that actually does happen. People are reprobated, and then they become dogs, brute beasts, brutish. The Bible uses those terms. Well, what we're seeing here is a man with an unclean spirit. And he cries out in the midst, and he says in verse 34, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And can you imagine, that would really turn a service upside down, wouldn't it? Somebody's screaming at Jesus. What are you doing? Is it scary out there? Yeah, it is, if you're not walking with God. I like how one man put it. He says, you won't have anything to worry about with the demons if you're saved and then walking with God. It's like germs. You don't have anything to worry about germs if you're clean. It's when you aren't clean you need to worry about. There's somebody around you who's got some really bad disease and they're coughing on you. This coronavirus thing is going on, right? Somebody's on a plane with you, or you're on the ships and the planes are not letting people off. Do you know this is kind of a big deal, getting people's attention? And if they're sitting right next to you, you're going to be worried. And I'm telling you, folks, they're everywhere. They want to get an inroad. The Bible says, be angry and sin not, neither give place to the devil. You can do that. You can give him place. The Bible says, submit yourselves unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. If you are getting static from the evil one, you just submit yourself to God and resist. And he has to go. The devil walks to and fro, the Bible says, through the whole earth, seeking whom he may devour, like a roaring lion. All I'm saying is that we need to take it seriously. There's a demon in this man. How did he get there? Well, maybe because he wasn't brokenhearted. Maybe because he wasn't poor in spirit. Maybe because he wasn't taken captive. Maybe what he was doing was he was reactive. He was saying, I hate everything. I hate everything about religion. I hate everything about God. I hate everything about church. I hate everything about the system. I hate everything about government. And they just begin to say, I'm checking out of this. And the devil says, you're my kind of guy. And so what we see is a man who's got an unclean spirit. And the Bible says, Jesus spoke in verse 35, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him into the midst, he came out of him and hurt the man not. So once the devil was kicked out, it didn't hurt the man. And the Bible says that all were amazed among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power, there's that word power again, he commanded unclean spirits and they come out. And the fame went out unto every place of the country round about. And he arose out of there and he went to Simon's house and he raised up his mother-in-law who was sick. And the Bible says as soon as she was raised up, she got up and started serving. Do you remember when the demoniac from Gadara in Mark 5 got healed and he wanted to go with Jesus? And he says, go home to your friends and your loved ones and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. You're not going with me up close. What I'm trying to point out is that there's a service heart and you get saved. There's a softening and a care. I've had people, when they've gotten close to being saved, looked at me and they said, you know, my brother needs to know this. My husband needs to know this. My wife, my mom, my dad, they need to know what you've just told me. Before they've ever prayed to trust Christ, they're like getting it. The lights are going on. And what I'm saying to you is there's something that softens and it means I need to try to help somebody else. I want to help somebody else. I want them to know. And so when he raises up Peter's mother in law, understand, he's married, by the way, none of this popish nonsense, okay? He's married, it says it right here. His mother-in-law was sick. And she got up and she began to serve when she was raised up. And that's in verse 39, she ministered to them. And the Bible says, now when the sun was setting in verse 40, all they had sick and diverse diseases, and he laid hands on them and healed them, all of them. And the Bible says in 41, and devils came out of many, crying and saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of God, and rebuking them. And he rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went there, and they came, and they tried to prevail upon him, tried to get him to stay. They didn't want him to depart, verse 42. He says, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. The one advantage the synagogue had at this point was the religious people who were genuine were there. Not all of them were. Up in the one, they tried to throw him off of a cliff, right? So not all were good. Same thing today. We have churches on every corner in this country. Some are good and some are not. Some are half-half. Half and half, right? I mean, it's a mixed bag. It's a crazy day. But if you're preaching the Word of God in a church, there's a good likelihood that there's some folks there who want to hear that. Tell me the story of Jesus. Right on my heart, every word. Tell me the story, most precious, sweetest, that ever was heard. You see, you and I live in a day where we can pick and choose, but for your purposes and mine, as we've looked at these spiritual realities, the Holy Spirit is God. He is here. He is in the believer. The Bible says we are sealed with the Spirit. If any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. He leads us to mortify the deeds of the flesh. And as he does that, our conduit to joy is renewed. The woman who was healed, she gets up and she ministers. All she wants to do is help. Dorcas died, had a great ministry among widows. But she was raised again because she was serving and she was an integral part of what God was wanting to do among the people in the book of Acts. And for you and for me, when we get saved, God would have us serve. Stuff on your pant leg and you're thinking, man, those are my good clothes. And it's aggravating and something withers. And you begin to think that's how it is. It's not how it is. Every day His mercies are new. You can get up and you can go for God. Do you know what I didn't tell you about at the beginning of this message today when I told you about that 92-year-old woman in Queens? This woman was out late at night. And you know what she was doing? She was going at 92 from restaurant to restaurant to get leftover food and leftover bread to give to the homeless. That's what she was doing. At 92. Guys, listen, what are we doing for God? There's no evidence that this woman was a true Christian, but she was doing a very Christian thing. She was trying to minister to somebody. She was trying to serve somebody. What was Jesus doing? He says, I got to go tell somebody else. I got to go other people. And he did. What are you doing? What am I doing? We need to be people who are conspicuously Christian. Because there's so much other nonsense out there. From the highest echelons of religious power, that it all gives the whole a bad name. And the devil is delighted with that. So we as an individual must go out and give it a good name. Be a child of God in real time before people. Show them what it looks like to love Jesus. He set you free from sin. You're not going to be self-absorbed. You're going to be absorbed with their cares, their needs, their hurts, their concerns. And I know it's hard. We're not going to be perfect. Sometimes you're going to be a little bit better one day than another day. You used to talk about it like if you have a big pop bottle full of sewage. That's what we come to God with. We're just full of all kinds of corruption and bad ideas. Holy Spirit begins to work and He begins to like turn the faucet on and it begins to mix in there and it thins out the sewage and it starts pushing some of the sewage out. Eventually, what happens? You've got some clear stuff going on here. That's what sanctification is like. He makes you a little better and a little better and a little better. A little more humbled, a little more submitted. A little more willing to take those temptations, the devil, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and pride of life, and say, I'm not going to cooperate with the devil because it is written, it is written, it is written. And when I take God at His word, I'm going to be what? I'm going to be a servant. A servant. And that's what you and I need to both determine to be. The word in this passage, which talks about servanthood, and Jesus talking of Himself even as a servant, it's the word latria. It means a menial servant. Not like a dokiman or a bondservant or somebody who signed up. It's no, I don't need anything back. You remember where Jesus said, when you've done what you can, He says, say we've done just what is our duty. We don't need a reward. That's the disposition. And you know what's funny? Is when you get there, God will give you the rewards. He'll give you the tokens. He'll give you the carrying ability. He'll carry you when you can't carry yourself. But we have to have that kind of a relationship with Him. And that doesn't happen unless we're engaged. Would you bow with me for a moment?
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts. And I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. We hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.